broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, good morning, Ben Crenshaw. I always love hearing your voice. And good morning, Hawaii. It is March 4th, the first. Where did the year go? Okay, welcome into the clubhouse. This is the Golf Club on the radio, streaming live around the world. Aloha from Hawaii. Welcome. This Century and Sony, we're celebrating our 25th year as the Golf Club, and you'll find the live stream, of course, or the podcasts at radiogolfclub.com/listen, or, of course, if you just want the podcast after the show, you'll get that anywhere you get your pods. All right, Mark Rolfing's joining us in the clubhouse. Jason Faircloth, he founded the U.S. Disabled Golf Association. He's with us, and Stu McDonald as well. Hunter Larson, the 2022 PGA, Aloha Section PGA, Player of the Year. He's based out of Kona Country Club. He's going to be with us. We're going to kick it all off with Gary Williams, host and partner, Five Clubs Golf. It's a multimedia golf platform, signature golf group, and I've just got to mention this. This is so exciting. At the HSBC Women's World Championship, Hawaii's Allison Corpuz is tied for third. She shot 11 under right now. At the top of the leaderboard, Jin Young Ko is first, and Nelly Korda is second. It's just so exciting to see Allison Corpuz really contending. From the city and county of Honolulu Traffic Management Center, no, Danielle, you're not doing the traffic. You're doing the golf. This is the Golf Club. We'll be back after this.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, Water, Flood, Broken Pipe Cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwile. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Oh, you know, I forgot to tell you what the forecast is. It's going to be partly sunny, scattered showers, mostly sunny on the leeward side, partly sunny with scattered showers, mainly this afternoon. High between 75 and 80, you know, up in Waiahua, it's going to be 75. In Honolulu, it'll probably get to 82. The trade winds are still with us, 10 to 15, becoming variable, 5 to 15 in the afternoon. And now, let's get back into the show, The Golf Club. All righty, now let's go to Gary Williams. All right, let's get back into the clubhouse. Gary Williams, you know him. Remember Morning Drive? I mean, it was so incredible to see a radio guy create the first morning golf talk show on television with all of the fabulous guests that he put together. And now he is his own boss with his own show and his own network. He is the host and partner in Five Clubs Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Gary.
Danielle, it's good to chat with you again, as always. I hope you're well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, doing just fine. We went through some frigid temperatures. I think it was like 74 at night. But we're recovering. All right. Okay. You know, I need to talk a little bit about your golf show, because I was looking at it, and for some reason my volume doesn't want to work on my computer. But I was going over, and I'm kind of happy that I didn't actually hear it, because you get to tell me. You had Gil Hans and Jay, how do you pronounce Jay's last name?
Billis.
Yes, Jay Billis on. Special guest, Jim Nance. You know, Jim Nance is everywhere. It's incredibly amazing to see him everywhere. Somebody talked about how they were commenting, because you can find Gary Williams' show and its podcast, and it's live. Are you live, or is it as a podcast always?
No, it's recorded. That's, you know, we aspire to do some live shows here, hopefully before the end of the year, but no, it's recorded program.
Excellent, excellent. So, but there were comments, you know, below. Great show, so much information, really interesting stories. And one person commented on your show, they loved the Eastwood story. Would you share the Eastwood story with us?
Yes. You know, you can always count on Jim for you know, a handful of really good stories. And he delivered again this time, but this one in particular, at the end of our programs, whether it's me hosting or Gil or Jay, Emma Carpenter covers college golf. We just signed Johnson Wagner, a 3-time PGA Tour winner. He's going to have his own show on Five Club.
Cool.
And all of us at the end, we have five quick questions. Of course, there's questions throughout, but these are five quick questions. So one of the questions we asked Jim was, what's the last movie you saw in a movie theater? And he's like, guys, you know, I don't know the last adult film I saw. And he just said it just passing. He went, oh, God, did I really just say that? Let me tell you a story. So they were, this was years ago. Davis Love comes back, shoots 64 on Sunday to win at AT&T at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And he tells Clint Eastwood, who habitually and annually would sit up there in the booth, first with Ken Venturi, then, you know, obviously for many years with Nick Faldo,
mm-hmm.
and he had his own CBS blazer on. And so Jim said to him, as he was getting ready to say goodbye to Clint Eastwood, because he was going to be a part of the trophy ceremony, just so you know, Davis Love III is a huge Clint Eastwood fan. The first adult movie he ever saw was with his dad, and it was a Clint Eastwood movie. And he said, like, what did you just say? And he said he almost said it again because he thought maybe they didn't understand, and then he realized what he had said. And Clint Eastwood said to him, and only the way that Clint Eastwood could say it, I've never done an adult film in my life.
That's priceless.
So that was the story that that Jim shared with us that got a lot of attention. Golf Magazine, golf.com just reposted it yesterday. So yeah, that was this past Tuesday that we did that interview with him.
Oh yes, an adult movie. It's just wonderful. It's wonderful. All right. Yes, you really, Jim is really quite the amazing person. You know, I saw him MC, a retirement, quote unquote. It wasn't really a retirement. Somebody was just leaving their job of 31 years at a fabulous country club, Sabonic. And, you know, he just rolls. I mean, he doesn't have any cards. It's just coming out of him. Like, it's really a treat watching him in action. I've never met the man, but I've just, from everybody that I've heard from, Jim Nance is the cool person. And I got that watching that video. And it's funny to think that he made such a... That is so cute. It's adorable. All right. Some of your other guests, this is interesting. The Graham McDowell show. You had him on for how long?
An hour.
Wow. All right. So why he chose to go to live, does he have any regrets? Now, that's a question, the regrets part, you know, I can kind of say, well, the money must have been pretty savory. And if you're at a certain point in your career, you're probably thinking, hey, I'll never make this again. So grab the money, play golf. You love the game, so you want to stay in it and be contending. But then the regrets part, you know, I wonder. It just doesn't seem to have the same, you know, I don't know, cachet. What did he say?
Yeah, you know, I think your last point is a very valid one. And what he said was, there are a couple ways that I've had, Graham and I go way back and have had a lot of really good conversations, not most of them, not on the air with microphones, but a lot of things. And I'm a fan and he's a friend. But I have a responsibility as somebody who wants to have these conversations. And I made it clear to him, look, I'm not in the business of trying to get anybody. This is not gotcha, you know, radio, television, whatever it is. But there are some questions that, you know, I want to and have an obligation to ask you. And he said, I'm ready to do this.
Okay.
So one of the things that I asked him, Danielle, was would 2012 Graham McDowell have done this? It's a very hard question to ask. It's a very hard question. Not a hard question to ask. It's a complicated question to answer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's somebody that is an introspective person. So he knows where his mind and his heart were 11 years ago. So it's not like I'm asking him to tell me what he would do 10 years from now. It's where I knew his life was at that time, and would he have made the same decision? And you could tell that there was conflict in terms of maybe in this respect, but probably not in this respect. But at the end of the day, the thing that he said has kept him up at night, and certainly kept him up at night as he was contemplating this decision, was the things that he knew were most certainly going to be sacrificed. One of them, and I don't think this is an entirely frivolous thing, because, you know, it's the next phase of what would have been his career, and that was doing television and lending his voice and having an essential voice in the game. And that has likely been compromised. And then the other one was the captaincy of the European Ryder Cup team. And I told him, hey, listen, it's not unreasonable to think that 2027 in a dare manner, you're there. That's your team.
Yeah.
That's your country. And and I said, I'm not trying to make you weepy, but you made the sacrifices you've made to do all these things in the game, and it wasn't just to win the trophies. It was the other trappings that come with that level of accomplishment, and that is one of them. And he got very emotional and said, yeah. And then he started to go through, you know, look, maybe Westwood, maybe it would have been Poulter, maybe it would have been Rose. And those are reasonable things to consider, but the inevitability of him being the captain was as sure as anything, whether it was there or somewhere else. And so among all the players that I've either heard from, talked to, I think that the amount of angst, and not so much like stay up at night regret, but thinking about what could have been and what might still be, he probably has as much conflict in his mind is anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you said, I mean, the country, individuals may question or say things about you for making a decision in your life. Your country is still loving you. And he gave so much to the game. I mean, a lot of people don't remember, but he was amazing at the U.S. Open. You know, he was amazing watching him play. So it would make the country of England proud to have him be the Ryder Cup captain. I can't imagine him not being chosen to be something like that on the Euro side. So, yeah, and how does he like playing on Live? Did he talk about what it was like playing?
Yeah, absolutely. He said that he made it very clear, and I appreciate the fact that he's not trying to he's not trying to portray Live as the PGA Tour. It's not. There's a frivolity to Live Golf, and this is not like people who like Live. Good. I'm glad that you're engaging in golf.
Yeah.
It's an observation. It's not necessarily a criticism. You know, there are things about it that I don't care for, like the shotgun start. And I told him, I said, look, Graham, the fact is, I said to him, I said, tell me something you don't like about Liv. And he said, stop. I said, you don't like shotgun start. I said, first of all, who wants to start on a 228-yard par 3? And he said, you got me there. Not me. No, I don't. And I said, you know, that's one thing. But mm-hmm. I said, the accomplishment of putting yourself in a position to win a golf tournament also comes with the psychological challenge of being the last off on the last day. And that doesn't happen with your league. And he said, no, you're right. And I said, that's part of it. That's part of it. So, yeah, he conceded that there are things that are not, you know, exactly to his liking. But you know, he likes the group. He likes the camaraderie. But I think that in the essence of the edginess that comes with elite championship golf, it doesn't exist there.
No. I totally, I can't see it. Okay. I want to transition to the big decision the PGA Tour has decided to go to.
Yes.
You know, but before we do that, because I'm looking at Ricky Fowler doing okay right now, tied for 14th. He did shoot a 63 after the 68. But Butch Harmon was on the show recently, and.
Yes.
What does he expect from Ricky?
Thinks he's going to win this year. I do too. When I say that, I'm not going to be shocked if he doesn't. I'm not going to be disappointed in him. Like, well, he didn't rise to the level that he should have. It takes a lot of factors, as you know, for things to conspire for you to get in that place. But I also have the same expectation. He said emphatically, I think he wins again. I do, too. I think that he's cleaned up some things in his golf swing that we talked about. And then the other part that, and again, you've noticed it, you know, Ricky is putting with not only the head of a putter that's very different, also the thickness of the grip, the length of the shaft. He's still a young man in his mid-30s. But there's like a middle-aged quality to the presentation of his putting now, which is a little bit it's a little bit kind of throwing me off because not the guy with the most freedom of anybody I've seen in a putting stroke since Tiger in his 20s and 30s. But he said that the most important thing that he still possesses is the absolute desire and the commitment to do it. He's part of the human condition. He has every reason to take maybe a couple hours less each day. He's got a child. He's got plenty of money in the bank. These are some of the challenges that come with accomplishment and fame and the material things. But he said he has the desire and the drive to still do this, and they cleaned up some certain things. And the other part, Daniel, that I always have loved so much about Butch, and I wrote about it. It's on our website, fiveclubsgolf.com. Butch should get in the Hall of Fame. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He is one of the great coaches, not just swing instructors the game has ever known. And I was on the tee in 2017 at Erin Hills at the U.S. Open when Ricky had a chance to win that, and the last thing Butch said to him was, put on your big boy pants today.
Oh.
And he's a mind manipulator. He feeds players what they need to fortify their mind to go out and have the belief that they can do it. Bob Rotella has made a very nice career out of working on the mind of players, and Bob spends time with Rory now. Rory doesn't talk about it much publicly. That part of the equation that Butch provides his players is not spoken about enough, and in fact, giving the right messaging to Ricky as far as that, and then also game planning and the technical side of the swing. So it was interesting to hear his thoughts on him.
That's interesting. Yeah. So this is Gary Williams. He's host of Five Clubs Golf. It's on YouTube, and it's also a podcast. For instance, Apple Podcasts has it. So you can find him just about anywhere. It's called Five Clubs Golf. And all the people we've talked about, they've been on his show in just, what, the last month or so?
Yes.
Wow. You great guests. All right, so
yeah.
Just in the last week, was it Wednesday, so long ago, that the PGA Tour dropped this juicy little change of everything on us where there'll be no-cut events. The designated events will be no-cut events, I believe it is. And it's all kind of, I'm all trying to still put it all together again. And I kind of liked the way it was with the designated events. And then I actually enjoyed the Honda, you know, last week. I thought it was great seeing those kids shooting 62. They were shooting lights out. They were content. They were, you know, spirited. There was a lot going on. So I don't know. What do you think about this change? And give us some thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not entirely in favor of some of the fundamental aspects of what is going to be essentially called the designated series. It's designated event series. I don't think it was necessary to make these no-cut events. I also think that if you look at the total, umbrella of the PGA Tour, there's a reason why they created Latino America and
yes.
took up ownership of the Canadian Tour and have this robust Corn Ferry Tour. There's a lot of talent, and I think that choking these fields down to such a finite number of players is depriving you of exhibiting the amount of depth that currently exists at the top of the game. And so I think it was not unreasonable for them to split the difference between 70 to 78 and make it 100 to 120, make them invitational events, still have cuts. You have to have jeopardy in elite championship golf. There has to be a price to pay for not playing well. You can't just say, well, we want the stars to be there for 4 days. Really? Really? I mean, I thought that there was an incumbent responsibility to perform at a certain level in order to get paid, in order to get FedEx Cup points. And so now you are depriving players, and I can give a number of examples of which I went and researched, of players who won events that are currently designated this year that wouldn't have even been in these fields if this particular structure was in place. For example, Max Homa's first win at Wells Fargo in 2019. He was 417th in the world, had just come back off the Corn Ferry Tour, had no form to speak of, and found himself on the weekend playing with Rory McIlroy, and he won. And what do you think that did for him? And I'm not just saying that the inevitability of him winning an event, it might have been a non-designated event, certainly was going to be there, but that happened, and that was great. And those types of things, to a great degree, are going to be sacrificed. And here's the other thing that I don't particularly care. Look, I think it's vital to take care of your stars, and the stars are the driving force of the entertainment value of the PGA Tour. But I also think that it's the type of thing where if you look at the balance of the schedules these guys are going to be having going forward, you add the great event, the Century Tournament of Champions, which is a small field, no cut. And then you take this designated series of events that are no cut. And then you take the playoff events, which are only eliminating portions of the field after the events are over. That's three more events.
Mm-hmm.
The lion's share of the schedules that are going to be played by the elite players in the game are not going to require them to make a cut. Really? Come on, you're the best of the best.
Yeah,
you know, I think that they missed the mark on the no cut aspect of it and the field size. And one of the things I heard, and this is Peter Malnati, who shared these thoughts on the Fire Pit Collective with Alan Shipnuck the night after this vote was cast and they made this decision. He said that he felt one way and was changed, and his opinion was changed to believe that this is going to be good for everybody, because he thinks and was told that the players from 80 to 120, if they were in these designated events, would start to take off, not some, but all of the other non-designated events because they were in the designated events. No, they wouldn't. That's a nonsensical type of thing to suggest. He was 101, by the way, on the fence. He's right in the sweet spot of those players. Peter Malnati played 31 golf tournaments last year. Are you telling me next year, because he would be in the designated event? So, by the way, you're presuming that he would be making cuts and finishing in the top 25. It wouldn't need these other events, that he's suddenly going to play 15 to 18 events. No, he isn't.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the last point, the playoffs start at 70, not 125 starting this year. It's essential for these players who are not you know, just so good that they're absolutely going to be in the top 20. These guys around 50 to 85 who are dying lousy to get into that first playoff bet, because, by the way, the bonus pool is getting raised another $50 million. They're not going to sacrifice non-designated events because they're in designated events. That makes no sense and is one of the selling points these guys are giving. I'm not buying it for a second.
Awesome. Gary Williams, host of Five Clubs Golf. He's on YouTube and podcast, for instance, at Apple Podcasts. I found it. So Gary Williams, Five Clubs Golf. Thanks for being on the show.
Danielle, you're the best. Thank you for always having a great conversation. I look forward to talking again soon enough.
Oh, goody. I'm so glad. All right. It was way too long. Thank you, and aloha.
Thank you.
We're going to come back, and we've got the Aloha section, PGA Player of the Year, next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Evilé. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Waipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Waipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay on the Garden Isle. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
I'm always asked, you know, like, who would you suggest that I go to see for teaching? You know, because I'd really like to up my game. And I love this. This is my professional experience teaching and playing the game at the highest level will help you reach your golfing potential. I personally work with each student to help them achieve their individual golf and athletic goals. This is a two-time U.S. Open local qualifier, 2018 and 2020 Aloha Section Assistant Professional Champion, first alternate in the 2016 U.S. Open, 2019 Assistant Professional of the Year, Aloha Section PGA, and the 2022 Aloha Section PGA Player of the Year. Welcome into the clubhouse, Hunter Larson, PGA.
Aloha, Daniel. How's it going?
It's going good. You know, how's the weather on the Big Island?
Well, I would say it's really nice, but I'm actually in Kauai right now. I'm about to go to Wailua and do a fitting day with TaylorMade Golf.
Oh, wow. Yes, I forgot to mention, you're also a TaylorMade Golf fitter. Now, I would love to talk about fitting with you sometime. But you were born and raised in Kailua Kona. I love the fact that you had Hawaiian studies and Hawaiian language as your major and graduated from the University of Hawaii at Manoa. When did you get into the game of golf?
Well, I got in at a young age, you know, like most young men, their dad played golf and drug them out to the golf course. And, you know, the smell of the grass and the gas carts back in the day was enough to get me hooked and then hit a few good golf shots, and then here we are, you know.
The smell of the gas carts.
You know, it's so funny. Back in the day, we only had those gas carts. Yes. Something about the smell of those gas carts that just made me feel like I was playing golf.
That is wonderful. It's interesting, the senses, you know, all of our senses come into play. And I imagine at your level of the game, you know, you feel, touch, smell, all of that, it becomes a part of playing the game of golf.
Yeah, and it's actually funny. Like, for me, auditory and, like, olfactory kind of feedbacks kind of bring me back into good zones. And, you know, I try to kind of lean on that more so than some of the other sensations. And in golf, where we get to use all of those senses, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I've always wanted to ask this question. I haven't, in the last 6 months, I've been thinking about when you go to a golf course where you've won before, does that make you feel ready for the game, or does it bring back expectations that you should be living up to?
I would say every time I've had times where I've gone to a course where I've won, like Ho'okalei has been very good to me in the Aloha section, and I could be playing terrible or playing great and then show up on that property and feel like I could play my best golf. So I just think it's the good memories of playing well. You know how to play certain holes, and whether you're playing good or bad, that kind of brings you into a zone. You know, it's something about that horses for courses thing is real. And people think that the expectation of having to play well on a golf course might be negative, but I don't think you ever feel that. I just think you love being on that property. You love everything about it, and whatever feelings you might have before, once you get on property, like, you just click into that mode, you know.
Awesome. So you're going to be, you're at on Kauai, and you're doing a tailor-made fitting. We all kind of know what a tailor-made is. I mean, golf clubs. What is, you are also PEAK certified, and that's P-E-A-K, all with periods in between. So what does that stand for, and what is that?
So that's Foresight Sports, which is another one of the major players in the launch monitor game. You know, everybody knows TrackMan. But Foresight's got a lot of traction with their units, GC Quad, GC3 being their two prime units now. And their PEAK certification is just a certification going through the details of using the launch monitor in the beginning, but then more so about diving into data of what you're actually looking for using these high-end monitors. You know, why spin rates do what they do, why angles of attack affect launch angle and all of these things to really help me be a better teacher, which is then parlayed itself into being a much better club fitter.
Wow, nice. When do you start using a launch monitor with a student?
That's actually a fantastic question. I mean, I have some people who have a lot of athletic experience and experience, whether it be in scientific fields, medical fields, or things like that, that we can use that data real early because that's the language that speaks to them. And then, I mean, I even have good players where I never even really busted out, you know, because I feel like sometimes that data becomes a swirling amount of things in their head that affects them from playing their best golf. So, you know, it's more like being a chameleon and figuring out each individual person. And that's what's fun about teaching. The style I've created is about kind of getting to know the personal aspects of each individual and feeling that out and then tailoring what I do for them, as opposed to putting a mold and a cookie cutter and then throwing them in my oven, you know?
Wow, I like that. Oh, now, what do you think it is about you that found that, you know, that everybody is an individual and we don't all fit in the mold?
Well, from my own personal experience, you know, I didn't take lessons very early on in my golf career, as, you know, from being a good amateur and a high school player. And then, you know, I went on these journeys where I've taken lessons from every one of the best teachers in the state of Hawaii. And I still continue to like to take lessons from different professionals. And, you know, guys like Kevin Hayashi and Casey Nakama. All of them. I learned that those guys were so good because they didn't throw people into a mold. And they can speak swing rhetoric and talk your head off, and they know every aspect of the game, but they know that it's about individual people. And if you look at the tour, how many different swings, how many different personalities, and if somebody were to train some of these idiosyncratic moves out of a player just for aesthetic reasons, we wouldn't have heard of a lot of these guys.
John Rahm, someone on Golf Channel said he's got a terrible swing.
Yeah, but it works. I mean,
yeah,
some musicians, like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's true. You know, I mean, sometimes I look at some guys and they look like they're playing baseball or they're playing golf, you know. But there's a move in their upper body that looks more like a swing and a bat, even though they're coming out of, you know. So I get it, but it's true, you know. What was his name? The guy who said, swing your own swing? Let me see. Oh, yes, Arnold Palmer.
Yes. They had a great commercial on Dick's Sporting Goods with that, actually.
Yes, they did, and they should run it again because it's, you know, how do you tell people that just because you see someone play a certain way on television that it may not work for you? Do you have those conversations with people?
For sure, but I mean, I think mimicry is also a very important part of the game, especially in the beginning, and a lot of times for people that they might have a move, and my goal is to find a tour professional who plays high level golf who does the similar stuff to them so that they see that, like, that move won't be a hindrance from their ability to play high level golf.
Wow.
And if you look at every funky little move out there, you can find a comparable person who's played golf and made millions of dollars who's also done that. So it's possible. And that a lot of times is like the thing that people need to know. Like, I keep trying to change this because I want it to look a certain way. And I'll just pull up a tour pro who does what they do and be like, why would you do that when you could be playing this type of golf with that type of move? So
nice. So, yeah, that. And are you – this is Hunter Larson, PGA. He's based out of the Kona Country Club. He's director of instruction, tailor-made club fitter, and he's on Kauai. You got any room for anybody on Kauai who wants to go get fitted today?
Heck yeah, we're going to be down at Wailua starting at about 8:30. So anybody who wants to get the best equipment in the world and the best fitting experience in the world, head on down.
And play one of the best golf courses in the world. Wailua is amazing, isn't it?
I haven't played it. You know, I've been on that property a couple of times. I was just with, you know, Daryl Rego yesterday telling him, like, this trip I had to bring a bunch of equipment. But I'm bringing my clubs. I want to play that golf course so bad. You know, Guy Yamamoto, David Ishii, everyone's
yes.
told me it's just the best. And
yes. And it's got a bunch of bunkers.
It is so bad just standing on that property, looking at it, going like, I haven't played this. I want to play it too.
So you've got all these accomplishments, and you're obviously you have to work because we all need to earn a living, and you happen to be able to work in an industry that you love. And how do you find time to practice?
You know, what's nice is being on the teaching tee and on the fitting tee, you know, there is some downtime. I've always got my sticks with me. And, you know, golf is an interesting game where it's not about quantitative practice, especially at a level when you get to be a certain quality of player. It's about qualitative practice. And whether it's time in the gym or whether it's limited short practice sessions, if you do it right, you can get a lot of work done in a short period of time. And if you practice properly and practice the applicable skills to be successful at this game, I don't feel like it takes as much time as some people think it would in order to keep skills or improve skills.
I couldn't agree with you more. Sometimes, you know, you see people hitting, well, I think they're more exercising exorcising their demons, banging balls, you know, it's like, in fact, I know someone very personally, he's my son. He used to love to go hit balls, and he said it gets the aggression out.
Yeah, exactly. Or it could be their Zen time, and if that's the case, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah, exactly, their Zen time. I love the fact that you put their individual golf and athletic goals in that sentence that I read at the beginning of our conversation. Because, and do you recommend, you know, some people are, I don't want to get all in the gym, but do you recommend sometimes that somebody could play a little bit better if they strengthen certain parts of their body?
100%. You know, when I look at someone's swing, if they have a move that's hindering them, a lot of time it has to do with a mobility issue or, you know, as you get through fitness or workout, and it's more like unlocking keys to your body to understand how you can move and control your own body. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I work with Chris Green, who's now at the science lab in Kona for about 5 or 6 years, and his knowledge has really obviously helped my own game and my own physical prowess, but it's really helped me understand other people's bodies. And I mean, I've pushed a lot of clientele to him, and they've seen just tremendous. It's just a symbiotic relationship. As their body gets better, their golf swing gets better. So
fantastic. So this is Hunter Larson, PGA. He's based out of Kona Country Club. You know, you can get in touch with him at 808golfpro.com, 808golfpro.com, and you can actually schedule something online. If somebody said, would you fly over here for, you know, whatever rate it is, would you fly over for the day?
Well, the thing with teaching is it's, you know, a lot of it is tied to facilities, you know, and there's, you know, moonlighting, which would be teaching out of facilities that you're not affiliated with.
Ah, yes.
And, you know, at Kona Country Club, Peggy has been great to me, and I love that situation. However, if you do get a fitting for me, you're guaranteed to get some gold nuggets of wisdom on your golf game.
If you can afford to fly him over here, you can afford to fly over there, and you'll love.
Yeah.
Kona Country Club has one of the most spectacular views. It is so beautiful. It's an absolutely gorgeous golf course. You need to play that golf course if you've never played Kona Country Club. The LPGA used to play there regularly. That was quite a while ago. I got to see Annika Sorenstam. It was an incredible tournament. And so, Hunter, would you please say hi to Peggy for me? Because I remember Peggy from a long time ago.
Yeah, I've known her since I was about 5 years old. Awesome.
You'll have to be back on the show. This has been so much fun.
Awesome, Daniel. Thank you so much. And all the accolades you said, you know, making me feel like I am somebody.
Well, you are somebody. What's the matter, you?
Awesome.
All right. Hunter Larson, PGA, based out of Kona Country Club, Director of Instruction, Foresight Sports Launch Monitors, PEAK, that's PEAK certified, tailor-made golf fitter at Y. Lewis starting at 8:30. He'll be there, and if you want to get in touch with him, it's 808golfpro.com. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls, learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com. MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned. Heat up the ball. Be grounded. Taking a deep breath. Rip it and rip it.
Did I do that?
Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Back in 2011, Jason Fairclough became the first and only American to play in the disabled British Open. He was one of only three persons with cerebral palsy to play in the event. Well, today, Jason Fairclough is founder and championship coordinator of the United States Disabled Golf Association, the United States Disabled Open Golf Championship, and this year, the 2023 United States Disabled Open Golf Championship, conducted by the U.S. Disabled Golf Association, will be held at the PGA Golf Club's Ryder Course in Port St. Lucie, Florida, May 8th to the 10th, and the PGA of America will serve as presenting partner of the championship. Sweet. All right, Jason, welcome into the clubhouse. It's so good to have you in. It is so good to hear you. Yes, we can hear you just fine. And I also want to welcome in your partner who's in with us, Stu McDonald. He is InRangeGolf.com, North American Executive Sales Partnerships Marketing, Biz Dev, lots of stuff. You are pretty amazing, Stu. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good to talk to you again, Danielle.
Yeah. And it's wonderful to see what is happening in just such a short period of time. You're asking for people to get involved, and the response has been phenomenal about, becoming a member for a day. Brett Campbell, Joe Starenka, Joe Goodrich, TJ Scheer, Jay Rapp, Steve Mays, Phil Cotton, all partnered in hopes of raising funds to offset the costs for each athlete participating in this event. The fifth United States Disabled Open Championship presented by the PGA on May 8th to the 10th in Port St. Lucie. Where did this idea come from?
Well, Jason, we haven't gone back and forth on how to handle this, but this is all Jason's baby. He, as you said earlier, was the first person from the United States to play in the open version of the Disabled Championship. And
yes,
he brought that idea to America, and he started it with his father, and it's been a labor of love for him. And I'd like to say that this young man is out there playing and working and doing something that, the RNA and the United States Golf Associations themselves, they're just starting to come around to doing this. So I'm very proud to work with Jason and to have this fifth open. And Ping has also been a very large sponsor of the USDGA and have come on board. This is their, I believe it's their third year now, Jason?
Yes.
Yeah,
so,
Jason's been on the show many times, and it's been so exciting to see the growth and the hard work that Jason's put into this paying off. And before Ping, then all of a sudden Ping took up the standard and it just blew us all away. It was great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And seeing it all come to fruition with the PGA of America getting behind it, it's fantastic and being played at Port St. Lucie, Florida. But, the whole mission that Jason's put together of finding people who'd like to participate by helping defray the costs for the many disabled who'd like to play in the championship or are going to play in the championship. Tell us about how do you get involved? How does that work?
Well, basically the field has gone out and Joe Bell and Jason have such a great reputation in this niche market for these athletes that there's a waiting list to get into this year's tournament. So they had a hard time getting it down to the 90 qualified. And I'd like to say that it's a full diversity, equity, and inclusion type event from the various types of disabilities to male, junior, senior, female. So it's a fantastic event. And because of that, you know, the PGA of America really reached out to Jason. And they went to Virginia last year, saw what a great job he's done. And what I've done for the last 3 years with Jason in my experience in the golf world is just make sure that people are coming on board that are legitimately behind the effort and get the message and aren't trying to take advantage of this young man and his amazing energy to continue to grow the game of golf for the folks that love the game, use it as a release, use it as therapy. And you know, some of these athletes, none of these athletes are full-time golfers. These people are taking time off of work. They're taking vacation time. They're traveling from around the world to play in the US PGA Open. And it's just an amazing event. So anybody wants to go to the website, you know, just to contact us, we have I know we have a new one coming up, but, you know, usdga.net. Go there. We have opportunities to volunteer. We have opportunities to sponsor and to partner. And if you want to click on there, Jason and I will take it from there.
Okay. So member for a day.
That's really good. That's really good. Member for a day is this, I forget the gentleman's last name, but let's just call him Eric. We came across him and Jason and I talked about it. And it basically it's golf courses, resorts, and also usually members of these fantastic courses that you can't get on, like Mirasol with Susie Wally. She's the first to respond. Susie's. Yeah, she sent me an email, said, we're in. You know,
that's awesome.
You don't know who the members are at these courses, but they're stepping up. Matt Lieberman, number one private club in the world, Boca West. Yesterday, he gave us one. We've got Old Palm. We've got several others that are going to be very exciting. And we're going to have this auction. Jason has done such a great job not only raising funds and awareness, but managing the budget. So we feel that we've got this year pretty much covered. We're always looking for additional capabilities. The solo riders themselves have been donated by Solo Rider out of Texas, a fantastic group of people. This year, you know, we're going to fund that out of the budget. But, you know, these cost thousands of dollars to transport across from Texas to Florida, and some of the athletes can't participate without one. So Jason and John felt upfront that we have to provide these solo riders for the event. So we've covered that cost. But anybody on a personal level, you know, $20 to $20,000, you know, everything goes to 100% to the athlete.
Awesome.
And then we're just hoping to grow with these fantastic people coming on board.
Yes, yes. The field is set, cut to 90 on January 15th. Deborah Smith is defending women's champion. Stephen Turpak is the defending senior champion. And all of you, Elizio Villanueva, the 2022 champion, Chad Pfeiffer, the 2021 champion, Chris Biggins, the 2019 champion, Ryan Brandon, the 2018 champion. They are all previous champions scheduled to play. So it's really, really exciting. And, you know, when you talk about the hard work that Jason Faircloth, the founder and championship coordinator of the United States Disabled Open Association, does, I mean, he gave me this, you know, full sheet of topics that I might like to bring up. Jason, you're awesome. You know that, right?
Yes. Well, we have this crossfire, the teeth and all that stuff. We try to focus on that. Just, you know, because not many tournaments do that, And so, you know, is he going to take time out to come? You want to come, not just to play golf. I mean, because you could go, you know, 2 miles down the road to play golf. But this is different. And this was made to be different. And we want them to experience big time golf. And so that's the whole reason behind this.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what we're talking about, what it really means for the adaptive and disabled community, for a group like PGA of America to partner up. Go ahead, Stu.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we're going to do this year, there's another little invitational coming up in April, and they have honorary starters. So we're going to have Jason, and we're going to choose a young lady on the autism spectrum from Raleigh, North Carolina. We're still looking at a couple other people that couldn't get into the tournament, but they're willing to come and participate and take care of that. And one other thing, Danielle, is before we run out of time, the type of respect that this young man is getting on a global basis from the associations and from the people, knowing that his heart is in the right place. There's another tournament going on the same time as ours over in the UK. And those guys sent a letter of apology to Mr. Faircloth since they had set up their time. They were unaware that we were doing it at the same week. And they apologized to Jason and the USDGA and hope that in the future we won't have any more conflicts. Now,
wow.
Talk about a goosebump moment, right? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So
yes.
We know we're on the right path, and Jason's just doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, and one thing that I need to add for Jason is John Bell, One Leg Bell, has come on. He's helping Jason, because as Jason put it, this has gotten to be pretty big to handle it all.
Exactly.
Thank you, One Leg Bell.
Yes,
and thank you, Ping, for being behind it from the very beginning, or almost very beginning. That's awesome. And, you know, I really would like to interview Paul Wood from Ping. So if you guys could do a little initial legwork for me, just give me an email address. I'll shoot him one and see if he won't be a guest on the show. Yes?
Well,
that
would
be awesome.
Want to come on the show? Of course.
All right. So I thank you. Jason Faircloth, founder and championship coordinator, United States Disabled Golf Association, United States Disabled Open Golf Championship. Thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Stu McDonald, thank you very much for being with us. And let's do it again.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha.
Take care.
Thank you.
You too.
Aloha.
We'll be back after this. We've got Mark Quaffing. He's right there at the tournament where I thought for sure John Rahm would be at the top of the leaderboard because, you know, sometimes you can't catch everything. You know, you're working. It's such a pain, right? We all have to work. You can't sit and watch television all day long. So I didn't get caught up, and so I'm like, where's John Rahm? I thought he was, like, going to show us that he's going to win again and again. Oh, wait, he's tied for 18th. He had a 76 yesterday? Oh, it happens to the best of us. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
K-O-R-L, Y-N-I, Honolulu.
Waipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Waipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and... There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where golf is played every day at Waipu Bay on the Garden Isle. Broadcasting from the H Hawaii Media Center. This. K-O-R-L. Waianae, Honolulu. Oldies 101.1. Listen online at HawaiiStream.fm. Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the brakes, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter? I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Quieting the mind? You know, that's almost an impossibility, right? Welcome in the 8 o'clock hour. All right, we've got partly sunny skies with scattered showers. That's mainly on the, windward side. I was going to say, we're not, it's too sunny out there. But based on the last few days, leeward side is going to be mostly sunny in the morning, as it is, partly sunny with scattered showers in the afternoon. The high today between 75 and 80, depending on whether you're up Wahiawa or down, you know, on the leeward coast, like Waikiki. The trades are 10 to 15 miles per hour this morning, becoming variable winds. Variable winds. We haven't seen them in a while. 5 to 15 miles per hour this afternoon. We'll have some evening clouds and isolated showers overnight, and then mostly clear skies. A lovely day to try to catch those planets that are looking so fascinating. Let's look at some tea times. We've got at Maui Nui a 10:30 and an 11:30. That's up there on Maui. And we've got on Maui Wailea's, Gold Course is a 9:20, Emerald a 12:40, and the Blue Course a 9:20. On Oahu, Makaha East, there's a 10:48. Eva Beach Country Club has a 10:16. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 9:30 and a 10:28. Turtle Bay Arnold Palmer Course, go to the Arnold Palmer Course. But it's also fun just being there. They've got a great grill room. Turtle Bay has a 9:06 and a 10:10. At Poipu Bay, there's an 11:50 and a 1 o'clock, and the Bum Run Tournament for Colon Cancer. That's happening today, okay? And there's an 8:50 and a 10:10 at Makalei. And at Volcano, where it was 53 lovely degrees this morning, that's cold, okay? 8:40, 9:26, and a 10:32. But the sun's going to come up and warm you, and then you get in the shade, and you'll say, wow, it's still really cold. I need my jacket. All right, I want to go to the Coligard Classic leaderboard and see. I'm not sure if I can find him right off the bat, but I desperately want to because, you know, Michael Costillo went over to the Coligard on a sponsor exemption, and he's been battling colon cancer for 5 years. And then, of course, metastasized and went to other parts of his body. So he actually put off having the test that will tell him whether all the treatments have worked and helped him to become, you know, what is the word that when you are no longer, you're clear. So I'm just checking. Michael had a 78 yesterday. John Daly's right there. Wes Short, Olin Brown, J. Don Blake, Justin Leonard, Nota Bigay, Fred Funk. And at the top of the leaderboard, we also have, let's see, we've got Brett Quigley, John Houston, Kirk Triplett, Brian Cooper, Alex Chechka. My goodness, I expected to see, Bernard Langer. Because if he wins again, he's going to break the tie. We're going to come back right after this with Mark Rolfing. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Evilé. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore. You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SciPac is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SciPac watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SciPac.com. That's CYPA.com. What do you get for the person that has everything? We're proud to announce Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show logoed merchandise store is open. Just click the green button on our RadioGolfClub.com website to find an outstanding selection of golf club logoed items. Make an impact on the golf course with our range of clothing and accessories that ensure a smile with every package. Explore all golf styles from shirts, pants to jackets, and hats in your size and color. Visit Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club merchandise store today at RadioGolfClub.com. Fun at your fingertips with style. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Okay, we should be hearing from Mark Rolfing shortly, but in the meantime, I want to go over the leaderboard that has one of Hawaii's own, at the HSBC Women's World Championship in Singapore. They are finished with their third round, and I'm probably starting up shortly. Jin Young Ko is in the lead, 72-65-65, nice. Nelly Korda, 68-68-68. Allison Corpuz shot a 70-65-70, and she's tied for third. Elizabeth Sokol, 64-71-70. She's tied for third with Allison. And Danielle Kang is right there, shot a 71-63-72, and she's in fifth place. So, got a really great leaderboard, and you'll be able to see this on Golf Channel. But Allison Corpuz, way to go, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. That's all I got to say. Let's bring in Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, a member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, the 2012 PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient with his wife, Deb. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Nice to have me on. Just got off the air here at Bay Hill, and can't wait to talk to everybody out in Hawaii.
Yes. You know, this morning I got up at some ridiculous hour, 2:45 or so, and I was getting ready and looking at all the leaderboards. And so, you know, I'd heard everything about John Rahm, you know, and how fabulous, and he was, you know, going to win again, and gee whiz, could he do all this and that and what have you. And I'm looking, where did John, am I on the right leaderboard? Where's John? Okay, so first of all, he's tied for 15th. John Rahm had a lovely 65, and he followed that with a 76. Unfortunately, that happens, as I said earlier, to the best of us. So what happened?
Well, you know, it's interesting. John Rahm goes through some kind of a transition when he leaves the West Coast. He plays great on the West Coast swing every year, and then he gets to Florida and just does not play very well. He's got one top 10 finish in Florida in his career, Danielle. It's just amazing. And most guys putt way better in Florida than they do on the West Coast. You know, Rahm started at Kapalua. Those are tough greens to putt. But the rest of the West Coast are too. They're bumpy Poana grass, and typically players don't putt nearly as well there as they do in Florida. For Rahm, it's exactly the opposite. He putts great on the West Coast, and then he gets to Florida and he can't putt at all. He putted miserably yesterday, kind of like he did last year. Last year here, if you remember, he lost strokes every single round putting, and he missed one at the seventh hole last year from a foot. He left it short. So something goes haywire with his putting when he gets to Florida.
You know, I saw that. I saw that on the highlights.
Or lowlights.
Yes. When you folks on Golf Central were talking about, you know, his game, and I thought, no worries, you know, he's on a fire. But, it is weird, because doesn't Poana grow over the daytime, and it gets, because of that growth, that's why it's bumpy?
Well, it is, and basically, it's really, and I grew up in Northern California, so I'm used to it, but basically, Poana is a weed. If you really dig into it, it's effectively a weed, and there are tremendous imperfections. It's not at all like putting on these greens here. And it's not just Bay Hill. He's never played great at the Players' Championship next week. He just doesn't putt this type of grass well.
Wow, that's interesting. I wonder what it is. I mean, I'm sure he's wondering what it is.
Yeah, and if he knew, he would change it.
Yeah, exactly. But so, you know, I find Kurt Kitayama at the top of the leaderboard, Max Homa, Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele. So, you know, all the conversations that are had because, you know, we tend to talk about what's Tiger. You know, is he going to match Tiger? I'm like, oh, no, we shouldn't start talking about that because we need to wait. But he has won three times, hasn't he? Or is it four times since the year started?
Yeah, he has. This leaderboard is stacked. And there's some great stories. This Kitayama story, who has not won a tournament yet on the PGA Tour, is fabulous, I think. He's finished second three times in the last year on the PGA Tour. But this guy lives in Las Vegas, Danielle, and he is a legend there. Wow. He really is amongst the players. He plays in the money games there in Vegas with all the top guys, including Xander Schauffele. And they call him Quadzilla. He's only 5'7". They call him Quadzilla. He's got these huge quads, and he hits it a mile. He's got 125-mile-an-hour swing speed, and he outdrives pretty much everybody on the PGA Tour. I love watching him play. He's got the lead. But, boy, you look at the guys that are chasing him. That leaderboard is stacked.
It is. It's strong. And it's really good to see Jordan Spieth. I mean, I'm just going to go right past Max Homa. I think he is wonderful. I really enjoy his personality. He spent, 4 minutes just talking about the fabulous new changes. We're going to have to talk about that, too. I'm not sure if I think there are fabulous changes, PGA Tour. But Jordan, seeing him, it was 68-69. That's wonderful.
Yeah, he's starting to putt better. His driving is really very good. And, of course, he's just the absolute best around the greens. He always has been. He's a creative kind of player, and he's feeling it. I talked to him a little bit on the putting green yesterday. He's kind of starting to feel it again. He went through a really deep slump there for a couple of years, as you well know, Daniel.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one thing I will tell you about Spieth that I really like is that he owned that bad stretch of his career. He didn't blame it on anybody else. Any other player would have changed coaches, would have changed caddies, would have changed dentists, would have changed just about everything. And Jordan did it. He said, it's me. It's all on me. I'm going to turn it around, and he is.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we used to live with Michael. Are you on his bag?
Yeah, absolutely. Still with Greller.
Right. I mean, but you just see, you know, he would like talk to him like, wah, 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 whenever there was something went wrong in his game. So it's really good to hear that, you know, he's actually taking responsibility instead of saying this, that, and the other thing that has caused this problem in my life. But let's go way to the bottom, and the person who just missed the cut, Colin Morikawa is having what Jordan Spieth went through. A smaller stretch, of course. He's only been in the game for a little bit. But, yikes, he must be freaking out.
Yeah, you know, he's trying to make some changes. I haven't really talked to Colin about it, but I did talk to Parker McLaughlin when we were together over on the Big Island at Kohanaiki. And, of course, Colin has famously gone to Parker now, who is giving him a lot of short game help. But all of Colin's problems are with the short game. He's still one of the best approach players in the game, still a good driver. But he is just fundamentally not very sound around the greens, and particularly with his chips and pitches. And Parker's trying to have him make some changes. But think about it, Danielle. You've been following this game long enough to know that when you're trying to make changes in the middle of a season, you know, in the middle of the FedEx Cup where every point matters, and now we're getting to this big stretch of tournaments, you know, with players next week, and then the Masters coming up and all that. Making changes like Morikawa is trying to make are very difficult. So he's struggling. There's no question about it. In the end, he's going to be better off for it. But fundamentally, he had some technique problems that Parker's trying to help him change.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm really, 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 really excited about that, because Parker's really come, you know, he found his niche, and it's really paying off. And, you know, people fly in to go work with Parker. I think it's...
Yeah, well, when I saw Parker on the Big Island, I said, how great is it now that instead of going out trying to beat these guys like Colin Morikawa, they're giving you money. They are giving you money and flying to see you.
Okay. You know, it's true. It's quite wonderful. Got to ask you about, you know, the PGA Tour making a decision. Now, I need to make it very clear that the PGA Tour is a group of players. It's an association of players. They all play in the tournaments that we're talking about. And when they vote on something, then it goes forward. Things can be recommended or suggested, and they get to talk, and then they vote. So could you kind of lay it out for us, Mark, about it sounds so complicated sometimes when I'm listening to conversations. Maybe if you just explain what the changes basically are.
I will, and I'll explain what's causing them. First of all, there's no question that LIV Golf has had a huge impact. Eventually, the PGA Tour might have gotten to a look that they're going to get to quickly. It might have gotten there over a period of 10 years, but LIV really accelerated that. The PGA Tour had to do it to compete. And basically what's happened, Danielle, is you take an organization that's got over 200 members, and they all have equal votes. But the fact is they don't have equal weight in terms of the public view of them and the fans. And what has happened is the top 20 players who got together at a meeting in Delaware in August, I think you and I talked about it then, have basically said, look, you know, we have got to make this more equitable and better for the top players. They deserve to make more money. There needs to be more money at the top. And the fans, at the same time, they feel like want to see the best players together more often. So effectively what has happened is they've created a series of designated events. There's going to be 13 of them. And those designated events are going to have smaller fields, not 144 players like Sony Open does. They're going to have 70 to 78 players, and they're going to have gigantic purses, $20 million purses. The question now is, are there going to be cuts in these tournaments? I really don't like seeing cuts go away. I hope there still are. I know Jack Nicklaus feels strongly the same way. But the fact is they are going to be limited field events. So what that does basically is creates kind of a two-tiered system on the PGA Tour. You're going to have designated events plus the majors, and then you're going to have others. And the question is, can the other events survive and can they thrive? And the first good look at that is going to come in Hawaii, because what's going to happen to the Tournament of Champions, the Centric Tournament of Champions, it will go to a field of about 50 players, maybe a few more. Because the top 50 in the FedEx Cup are going to be eligible for all the designated events, including the Century Tournament of Champions. Following that, you have the Sony Open, which is very close to Maui. The last time I looked, it's 70 miles away. The question is going to be, are guys going to play in a designated event for a lot of money like Century and then stay and play in Sony? I sure hope so. Some of the turnout was okay this year, but I was disappointed in a number of players that didn't stay and play Sony. That sponsor and that fan base on Oahu deserves star players just as much as the folks on Maui do. And so it's going to be critical to see whether or not this other level of events that aren't designated events like Sony, can they survive and thrive?
All right. Now, we saw sort of what's to come when we watched the Honda last week, right?
Yeah, Honda was basically a disaster. It was one of the worst fields of the year on the PGA Tour. It was the worst field for Honda, and it's all because of the schedule, Danielle. So if you think about it, there were two designated events in front of Honda. There was Phoenix and then L.A. on the West Coast. Then came Honda, and then right after came this week, Bay Hill and the Players. So 4 of the 5 weeks were designated events. The week in the middle was the Honda Classic. There is no way in the world that top players are going to play 5 weeks in a row.
No.
They just aren't going to do it, especially right before the Masters. So that basically put Honda in a situation where there was no way they were going to get a field, and now they've lost the sponsor. And now Jack Nicklaus, whose foundation, you know, benefits from that event, is trying to figure out what is he going to do. I think the only thing they can do is get out of that date, which might work for some tournaments. But if you look at Sony, would it ever work to not be back-to-back with Century Tournament Champions? No.
Yeah.
You have to do the Hawaii events together. And for one thing, you can't have television equipment out there for a number of months. You got to have it, you know, for a short period of time. So there has to be a lot of work done to ensure the sustainability of Sony.
So Honda pulled out. I didn't hear that they...
Honda's out.
Oh, man. I thought they were going to try to figure something out to keep Honda in so that Jack Nicklaus would still have, you know, the weight of a major sponsor. Honda's a major company. And for this to happen to them with no warning, it seems disrespectful. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with some of the decisions that are being made. They took advantage of people, you know, yeah, and then all of a sudden it's, yeah, well, tough.
There could have been a more logical process that would have taken a little longer and maybe a couple of years to sort of percolate and make slow changes. But frankly, they got put into a situation. They got caught off guard by LIV Golf, and they were forced to do this as they started losing more and more key players to that tour.
So that, I mean, really, I just don't see that many key players leaving, and I certainly don't see any ratings benefit for, you know, it's not like, you know, people are watching LIV. In fact, what was the latest rating was pretty dismal, wasn't it? I mean, I don't mean to be.
Yeah, it was horrible, but the fact is, you know, this is a job for people.
Okay.
And money talks when it comes to jobs, and even though nobody's watching, and even though they can't get any sponsors, they are still, because it's, you know, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, and they've got unlimited funds, they're paying these guys gigantic contracts. And, yeah, most of the players that went, I could care less about, and so could you, and so could most golf fans. But if you think about, you know, golf in Mexico, for them to lose Abraham Anser and Carlos Ortiz, you know, to live was terrible. I thought Joaquin Niemann, South America's a burgeoning golf market. To lose a player like Niemann, that is bad. And so the PGA Tour had to do something about it. They had to respond quickly. McIlroy and Tiger took the lead on this one, and this is what they came up with.
I see. Now it kind of makes more, you know, when you talk about it globally, which is the exact way we have to look at this game now, you know,
25 years ago, we were talking about this got to, global golf. It's got to come to fruition. Now it's come to fruition. So what about PGA Tour Latin America? Is that still happening under the PGA Tour umbrella?
It is, and there's going to be a way on the PGA Tour to ultimately play your way into designated events.
Okay.
That's going to be the difference between PGA Tour and LIV Golf. You can get in these designated events. Now, having said that, Danielle, how many designated events are they having outside of the United States? The answer is zero. None. All the designated events are on the PGA Tour. I believe if the PGA Tour is going to compete in growing the game globally, you're going to have to see this designated event status go to some events outside the U.S., some of the bigger events like the Scottish Open or Mexico, let's say, or Australia. You know, LIV Golf is getting a foothold in Australia because PGA Tour is nowhere to be seen down there.
Mm. Oh, you know, it just gets more and more complicated, doesn't it? But, you're absolutely right. The designated events do need to be international events. We called it the World Golf Championships. It was kind of ridiculous because they were all in the United States until one was moved to Mexico, right? We need to work on this, Mark.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of work, and I'm going to be at the Players next week up there, and so we will be with the PGA Tour hierarchy, you know, the commissioner and all the staff, and all the players are there, and all the Golf Channel management is there, and everybody's there, so I'm going to have a pretty good sense after next week as to how they're dealing with the realities now of trying to fundamentally change the entire personality of the PGA Tour. It is going to change dramatically. Now, there are things that are good about it, particularly for Maui, which is going to become the start of the season again. This wraparound season, which was a joke and didn't work and didn't connect with the fans for the last 10 years, is gone. We are starting the season again in Hawaii the way we should, and opening day is going to be on the island of Maui.
I love it. And we'll talk real soon, okay?
All right, Danielle. Take care as always.
Thank you. And thanks for keeping us up to date so we know what's going on in the world of golf. All right. And I want to thank the people who make these conversations possible. SIPAC for cybersecurity, for your company, for your nonprofit, any organization that puts their privacy and your security first. It's SIPAC, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Online, they're SIPAC.com. That's CYPAC.com. The number 861-9595. Aloha Power Equipment, they've got what you need at their Iwile store on Alakava and at their Waipahu store. Great selection of mowers and blowers and weed whackers and generators, and you're going to need all of that because the sun's out and the ground is so nice and rich and everything is growing by leaps and bounds. They've got the largest selection of power equipment from all the major manufacturers. They put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. We're honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. The best way to get good at this game of golf, learned from a PGA. Takes time to become a PGA. Yes, they really, a lot of testing, a lot of work, a lot of classes. It's 808-593-2230 for a PGA of America member near you. MD Restoration, speaking of water, boy, MD Carpet Restoration, 528-3434. 528-3434. 3-4, and for spring cleaning, your carpets, your cleaning, or emergencies, broken water pipe, or water that's decided to come in places you didn't know it could come. It'll find a way, they say, about water, and they can fix your problem, do your repairs, and their insurance paperwork is great. Rain or doors, today we don't want to be fumbling for your keys outside your home. Entry to safety with the push of a button, Rainer garage door. Know your loved ones are safe with Rainer doors. They have more than 50 different styles, so you'll find something that suits your taste.
50 different styles. 676-3667. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. We'll see you next Saturday. You can always listen to our podcasts. This is The Golf Club. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.